We would stand for the gospel lesson, if you are able. We'll be reading Matthew 26, 31 through 35. And this is from the Common English Version. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Tonight you will all fall away because of me. This is because it is written, 'I will hit the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will go off in all directions.' But after I am raised up, I'll go before you to Galilee." Peter replied, "If everyone else stumbles because of you, I'll never stumble." Jesus said to him, "I assure you that before the rooster crows tonight, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "Even if I must die alongside you, I won't deny you." All the disciples said the same thing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, Peter was at it again. Jesus had just informed the disciples that before the night was over, he would be arrested and they would desert him. As the others stood in stunned silence, there was Peter. In place of showing him a little bit of empathy or concern, Peter announced in his usual bravado that if all the others might run away, he was going to remain faithful. And sadly enough, Jesus knew the truth. He knew what was going to happen. Peter would run. Not only that, "Before the rooster crows," he said, "you will deny me three times." And refusing to back down, Peter replied, "Even if I must die, I will not deny you." Okay, we know the story. We know the truth. In only a few short hours, the disciples did desert Jesus. Peter did deny him exactly as Jesus said he would. Now, if this had been a one-time event, if this had been the only time that Peter misunderstood or responded somewhat inappropriately, given the circumstances, well, it would be easy to forgive him. It would be understandable. But this wasn't a one-time event. Peter was always missing the point. He was always speaking when he should have been listening, and he was always trying to lead when he should have been following. And as a result, the behavior he exhibited that night was, it was not surprising. It was Peter. He was just being Peter. But all of this raises an interesting question. Why do we paint Peter in such a negative light? I mean, there's no denying that he was impetuous, opinionated, impulsive, and stubborn, and those were his good points. There's also no denying that he eventually did become the rock that Jesus told him he would be. He did help establish the church. He was the one who helped hold the disciples together after Jesus was resurrected and after his ascension. Peter did spend the rest of his life in ministry to the Church of Jesus Christ. And in the end, Peter did sacrifice his life in defense of the Lord. But despite all the good that he did, why is it that the gospel writers chose to write so many negative things about him? Why did they paint him in such a, questionable light? They were more concerned about his failings than his successes. And if you think that maybe I'm exaggerating, then think again. How many of you have heard about the travels of Paul? How many of you have ever heard about the travels of Peter? Have you ever wondered what he was doing? We have the letters of Paul. They make up most of the New Testament. What happened to the letters of Peter? And we know that Paul was short-tempered. He was as short-tempered as Peter was impulsive, but do we ever talk about that? Do we ever say, well, Paul was just being Paul? Have any books ever been written about Paul's temper? About some of his shortcomings? Why do we know more about Peter's shortcomings and failures than we know about anything else when he was so important to the beginning of the church? Why is it just one story after another about the way Peter was Peter? Well, in his book entitled Simon Peter, the Reverend Adam Hamilton suggests that perhaps the answer to that question is because Peter himself insisted on telling the stories. He was the one who wanted others to remember. He was the one who kept bringing up his shortcomings. So why would he do such a thing when most of us want to paint ourselves in such a positive light? Why would he want people to remember the glaring mistakes from his past rather than the outstanding ministry of his later years? Well, could it be? It was because he knew that we could relate to him because, well, admit it or not, we're like Peter, aren't we? We've all let our mouths get the best of us. We've all said things that we later regretted. We've all made promises we couldn't keep. And some we just wouldn't keep. And yeah, we've all let our fears override our faith. As the Reverend Marianne McKibben Dana once wrote, I quote, "The truth is, we desert when the chips are down. Actually, we desert long before that. When the Christian life becomes inconvenient, embarrassing, or costly, forget life-threatening, we retreat into our cozy environs, what they may be. They may be denial, economic comfort, silence in the face of injustice. We wring our hands. We convince ourselves we could not have made any difference anyway. We desert, just like Peter." And just like Peter, we know that deep remorse and that wish that we could just take it all back. By encouraging others to remember the darker side of his story, I honestly believe Peter wants us to understand that despite all we've done wrong and the horrible things we may have thought, in the end, it is our faith, not our failures, that God will use to define us. God will remember. God will remember those deep moments when we really wanted to do what was right. And they will be more important than the moments that we failed. by making us understand the details of his story. Peter goes a step further than just reassuring us that despite the fact we're humans, God still loves us. He shows us that there are things we can do when we trip over our own humanness. And when we examine the stories he refused to let die, the first thing we learned is that he never denied those moments when his fears and his ego got the best of him, when they overshadowed his faith, when he stood there saying, "Oh, everyone else may do that, Lord, but not me." Peter admitted it. He was honest about the shame and the guilt. He refused to make excuses. "I did it. I didn't mean to. I didn't want to. But I did it." And you know, that kind of honesty is extremely important to the healing process. But there was a second thing that Peter did. He never wasted time wallowing in self-pity or burying himself under a mountain of guilt. Have you ever noticed that you never see Peter saying to Jesus, "Oh, by the way, Jesus, you know, yesterday when I said..." Peter never did. Oh, did he apologize? I have no doubt that he did. But he didn't keep going backwards. He didn't keep looking at what he had done wrong. He set his eyes on what he could do right in the future. He placed his trust in Jesus and in Jesus' willingness to forgive and in Jesus' ability to redirect us. If only we turn to Jesus in those moments when we have really made a mess of things, he will show us the way out. He will show us the way that we can go. He will do it. Peter knew that. So if we really listen to his story, what Peter teaches us is that by trusting and putting our faith in Jesus, it's okay. We can openly admit our transgressions. We can admit our failures and our sins. And we can experience the freedom that comes when we finally acknowledge it all, when we don't have to hide anymore. There's a burden that's lifted from us. There's a new path that opens to us. And it happens when we openly and honestly admit our shortcomings. While we can never undo what we've already done, redemption is still possible if and when we admit the truth. And when we're willing to admit the truth about ourselves, when we admit that, like the Apostle Paul said, we do the very things we know we shouldn't do and we don't do the things we should do, well, then, and only then, we're willing to look out and empathize with others. Because you see, this forgiveness thing, it just isn't about us and our being forgiven. It's about our ability to help others feel forgiven too. They need to know that when they stumble over their own humanness, when they sin or take a wrong turn, in place of piously insisting that we would never do such a thing, not us. We're good folk. We can look them in the eye and say, "Been there, done that." But let me tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. And then we can share our stories because we don't have to cover them up anymore. We don't have to pretend like we're somebody we're not or that we're better than we are. We can just lay it out there. This is what I've done. This is what I said. By sharing our stories, we offer others hope. And by sharing our stories with them, we can welcome them back into the body of Christ, just like Christ did for us. And that, my friends, is Peter's story in a nutshell. Like all of us, he wanted to do what was right. He wanted to commit himself to the ways of Jesus Christ, just as the other disciples did. I mean, paraphrasing Reverend Dana, who I quoted earlier, she says, "These are the folks who stood up when Jesus said, 'Follow.' The bumblers became rascals before the night was over, but there is very little doubt they wanted to do the right thing. It is just that they couldn't. As Jesus would tell them in the garden, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Intentions couldn't save them. They can't save us. Not even the right actions can do that. Only the power of Jesus' death and resurrection can do it. Only Jesus can save." That is the truth that guided Peter. By allowing himself to be human and Jesus to be divine, he was able to get up after each failure and try again. He knew that while the past can't be undone, the present and the future are redeemable when we place our faith in Christ. Now, as we prepare to go forth into our own field of ministry, I invite you to hear this simple prayer from the great mystic Thomas Merton. "The fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. May the desire to serve be part of your story, and may you tell it to others. To God be the glory." And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.